Let's all turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. All of us, yeah, let's read it together. It's good to read it together. Amen. Verse 5, let's read it together, right? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Before you go to 5, verse 5, we all need to know what Peter said concerning the elders, because our concept is the elders have the authority, the elders have the position, and they are the overseers of the churches, right? So because of this concept, which is not necessarily wrong, but if you put it in the wrong context, then you get into all kinds of troubles. Now, let's start with verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am also a fellow elder. And then he says, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. We all know that all the apostles in Jerusalem, at the same time, they were also the elders of the church in Jerusalem. And for Peter, one of the first points that he mentioned here is that he is a, what did he say, witness of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. This is a very important point for the eldership. Why? Because the Lord has given us an example. He is the Lord himself. In fact, he was God. But according to Philippians chapter 2, he put aside his glory and he lowered himself, he emptied himself. Not only he became a man, but he became a slave. And throughout his time on this earth, he said, the Son of Man did not come to what? To be served, but to serve. So the Lord himself has given such an example to all of his disciples, especially to his apostles. And he even washed their feet, right? He lowered himself. Peter says, no. I should be the one to wash your feet. How come you are washing my feet, right? But the Lord said, if I do not wash your feet, you will have no part of me. So the Lord has given them an example. He himself being God, becoming a man and a slave, and willing to wash their feet. And then not only that, but Peter witnessed his going up to the cross to suffer death for us, for all of us. Right? So this must have left Peter a very, very deep impression. I don't believe that Peter, if you tell him Peter will give you the position of the Pope, people will say, there is no such position. Our Lord, who was God himself, became a slave. How can I, being so low as a human being, become the Pope and sitting on the throne? No. The concept of religion is an elder is so high and having the authority, and everybody must look up to them. Right, this is already a fallen concept. I have seen that in the last 40, 50 years again and again and now again. Okay, in some of the places in Europe, my, some of the elders, is we are divinely appointed by God. Goodness, how can that be? Right? And there is no such thing like many years ago, the doctrine of infallibility. My goodness, the Pope was infallible. Can you imagine that? No man is infallible. No. The only one who is infallible is our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So, Peter here especially says, I'm a witness of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think anyone who witnessed the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross would dare to be someone who is so high to be respected by everybody. And no, I don't believe so. Right? And then he said also, and a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, meaning to say the glory for any one of us is not today. No. But it will be revealed, meaning to say, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give glory to no man, and take no glory from any man. No. When the Lord was living on this earth, he never glorified himself. He never did. Right? But today, my goodness, hey, don't you know, I am an elder. I heard people saying that. Hey, don't you know, I am an elder. Even the Mormons, right, they put the word, Elder George Chua. Goodness. Terrible. Right? Eldership in a church life is not a matter of position. But it is a matter of service, and you are serving the saints like a slave. Don't think to be an elder, wow, everybody has to serve you and listen to you. No, this is definitely not what is meant in the Bible. That is why it says here, shepherd the flock of God. That means you must feed. Shepherd, to shepherd means to feed. To feed and take care of the flock of God. It's the flock of God. It's not your flock. Remember that. Not your flock, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Because it is not easy to be a slave, to take care of the saints. If you want to be an elder, you need to take care of the brothers and sisters. Like you being a father. You like being a father? Who is serving who? When you're all young in the family, who is serving who? I'm going to ask Mark, and I'm going to ask your dear daughter, are you serving your mother or your mother serving you? Tell me. Of course, your mom serving you. Right? If you need anything, who do you go to? Mom. Right? You need a new pair of shoes, who do you go to? Your mom. You need food? Go to mom. You need whatever you need, you go to mom. And right? So who is serving who? Your mom is serving you, of course, right? Yeah, of course. Right? Don't let the saints serve you. You want to be an elder, you serve the brothers and sisters. This is normal. This is normal. Don't think you have a very high, wonderful position, everybody has to listen to you. No, this is definitely not what the Word of God says, and it is not what the example of the Lord, right, shown in the Bible. Then he says here, not by compulsion, but you do it willingly. If you don't want to do it willingly, step down, you quit. Not for dishonest gain. Don't have any gain. You have nothing to gain as an elder. Don't gain respect. Of course, not for monetary gain. Right? But eagerly. That means you do it not only willingly, but happily to serve. Don't complain. If you are a complaining elder, please resign. Yeah, please resign. Right? It says you don't do it by compulsion, but you do it eagerly, happily. If you are a complaining elder, oh, it's too hard. Oh, I would tell you, if it's too hard, resign. Let those who like to serve, let them serve. Nor as being, and this is very important here, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. You're not the Lord here. And it is terrible, it is ugly for elders to think they are lording over the flock. Don't do that. Don't do that. Right? But being examples to the flock. If you want the saints to do something in the church life, you do it first. Because you have to be an example, right? You want the saints to serve, you serve first, right? You want the saints to do this and do that, you show them first how to do it. You have to be an example to the flock. Then when the chief shepherd appeared, now there is a chief shepherd. The Lord is the chief. You're not a chief. Okay, you're just a little Indian. There's only one chief. Chief. The Lord is the chief. We are all just little servants there, serving. Remember, when the chief shepherd comes and appears, you then will receive a crown of glory. The crown is not for you to wear today. There is no crown for you now. Okay, if you wear a crown, you're going to drown. All right, it so happens that it rhymes. So anyone in the church life who wants to wear a crown, he will drown. Yeah. Only when a chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. That's why I said the glory will only come in the future, not today. Don't seek for glory in the church life. If anyone is seeking for glory, you better go to the world and you can get glory there. As much glory as you like. If you can make it. But not here in the church life. No. No, no. This is not the place to seek for glory. Why? Because all the glory goes to our Lord Jesus Christ and goes to God our Father. No one gets the glory in the church life. You have to remember this. Now, if you are such an elder, then there is no problem for any of the younger ones to submit to you. Right? If you have such an elder, will you not submit? Of course you will. But if you have an elder who can just tell people what to do, and he himself doesn't do anything, just command you, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Goodness, you think you will gain the respect? Nobody will respect such an elder. But if we are doing the job according to the word of God, I don't think you'll have any problem having respect from anyone. Right? So, you have to get into the context of the Bible here. Then it says, likewise, young people submit yourselves to your elders, because there are some rebellious young people. There are always some rebellious young people. Young people are always rebellious. Right? Many of us. Young, when we were young, we were quite rebellious. Right? But if we are a proper elders, being an example to the flock, people will respect you. And even if they will not, so what? Just let it be. Don't demand respect from anyone. You want respect, you earn it. And if you have earned it and still people will not respect you, just let it be. Why do you want respect? Then it says here, yes, all of you, not just the young people, be submissive to one another. So it's not just younger one, submit yourself to the elders. Now it says you have to submit yourself to one another. If what he said is right, I have to submit, and says yes. Amen. I agree. So it's not a matter of who listens to who, but it's a matter of, number one, what is right. If the younger brothers doing what is right and what he said is scriptural and correct, even we older ones, we have to submit and agree. Amen. That's right. So it is all together, not just a matter of practice. Oh, you are younger, you have to listen to me. No, I'm older. And if you are right, I have to listen to you. So Peter says, you submit yourselves to one another. Right? This is very normal. If my wife is right, I cannot say, yeah, I'm the head of the family, it's written. No, if she is right, I better listen. Of course, if she's not right, then I would just tell her, sorry, just leave it. Right? No need to fight. But most of all, we need to learn to enjoy the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just have to look at the example of our Lord, how he dealt with his disciples. They made a lot of mistakes, and the Lord did not fire them. Right? Did the Lord fire Peter? Yeah? Did he? Was Peter perfect? Well, Peter was far from being perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. But if I were the Lord Jesus, a good thing I was not, I would have fired him. Right? Will you choose Thomas without faith and disciples who doesn't believe? Of course you will not. What about Judas? Oh, did the Lord fire Judas? Write a letter of excommunication? Yeah. How about that? I think you would write a letter of excommunication. Judas, from now on, you are not allowed to come to any meeting here. Sign the elders. Right? Wouldn't you do that? I agree. I'll agree with you. Even I'll sign with you. I'll co-sign. How about that? Because that's us. That's the way we do things. So, anyway, you really need to see. It does not mean that, hey, we accept anyone and everybody. No, no, no. But you have to follow the Lord. You have to learn to follow the Lord, to do whatever he says. And I'm so glad this morning there's been so many offerings that shows us we are learning to follow and listen to him. Right. That is why learning to prepare the offerings and enjoying the feast is a very good way, perhaps even the best way, for us to grow in life. Right. So, I hope it is clear for you. Right? We all need to see this. We all need to see this. Clear? Yeah? Okay. Then it says here, be clothed with humility. Was the Lord ever proud that he was the Son of God? Was he? Are you sure? How come we are so proud because we are elders? Don't you know, George, I am an elder? Oh, wow. I even heard people saying, I am the apostle. I even heard that. Right? And emphasizing the word the. How terrible it is. Right? But our Lord, he humbled himself. So here it says, be clothed with humility. Right? Wow. What is humility for you? What is humility? Just to be so humble like this? Humility is Christ. You put on Christ. It's not acting so humble. No, it is ugly. You know, for a proud man to act so humble, it is called hypocrisy. Then if nobody sees you and you lose your acting, all of a sudden the monkey business comes out. You will see how ugly it is. Don't try to act humble. You put on Christ. If we learn to put on Christ, then we will have the real humility, right? Because Christ is our humility. And then it gives us a warning because God resists the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. Remember, some time ago we shared concerning Proverbs chapter 6, I believe. There are 7 things that God hates. Well, you never know God hates, right? Of course, he doesn't hate people, but he hates certain things he hates. For example, in the book of Revelation chapter 2, he says he hates the works of the Nicolaitans. Right? So, what was the top of the list? Huh? A proud look. Just the look, God already hates. You have a proud look, you're in trouble. God hates, number one, a proud look, and number two, a lying lips. And number three, people who sow discords among the brothers. Yeah. Anyway, so God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Praise the Lord. Learn this. We want to enjoy the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is one of the qualities of our Lord's humanity. Is his humility. Right. Praise God. Amen. Right? Okay. Clear? Answer the question? Good. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 7. Back to Jerusalem. God's building, right? The temple, the house of the living God, Zion, chosen by God. And we mentioned that it was 400 years plus later that David, a man according to God's heart, finally woke up and realized, my, I live in such a palace. Because he was a king, he was living in such a palace. But he saw, and God lived in such a poor, broken old tent. So he woke up and he swore that he will find a place for the mighty God of Jacob. That was in Psalm 132. Right? Remember what David swore. I will not come into my own house nor give slumber to my eyelids until I find a place, a dwelling place for the mighty God of Jacob. What a man. a man according to God's heart. Because nobody cared for God's dwelling place. Everybody cared for himself, right? So David is a wonderful person called a man according to God's heart. Now, with this in view, let us read Acts chapter 7. Now, let us read concerning David. Verse 47, right? Then talks about the days of David who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. You can read it yourself in Psalm 132. But it was Solomon who built him a house because God told David, no, not you. Because your hands have shed too much blood. Because David was a warrior and he subdued all of the surrounding enemies of Israel. So God told him, no, not you. Suppose you were David, what will you say? Why not me? I was the first one who realized you need a house, right? Wouldn't you say that to God? Right? I think many of us would. Why, my son? He didn't do anything. I was the one who discovered, right? I was the one who finally saw after 400 some years that you need a dwelling place. And I was even the one who discovered a place to build it. So why not me? What would you say? Oh, I'll be jealous. Why, my son? But David was so obedient to God. Not only was he willing, but he prepared all the materials for the building up of the temple for his son Solomon to build it. Tell me what is more glorious, that you will build up a wonderful, very super successful business, or your son and will build such a business? What would be more glorious? Will you be jealous if your son build up something even greater? You're going to be jealous of your son? No, it will be your glory. But unfortunately, people today, they want to be elders until they die. They don't want to see other people rising up to take their place. Anyway, but Solomon, in verse 47, what did he say? Built him a house. That was a temple in Jerusalem. Now, don't stop there. When you read this portion of the Bible, do not stop there, because Stephen said something that is very important. Let us read together, because it is so important. Let's read together 48 to 50. However, those who have the Bible, let's read it, right? However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, prophet Isaiah said that in Isaiah 66. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? Now, there is a problem here. The problem is this, Johann. Did Solomon build a temple or not? Yes, of course it was a beautiful temple. You can read that, right? In Kings and Chronicles, you can read it. Beautiful temple. And did not the glory of God fill that temple? Yes. So, was it God's house? No, it was not. It was only a temporary place. It was only a type, a figure of the real temple that was not yet the real one. Because it is written already in Isaiah chapter 66, God will not dwell in any temple made by hands. Whatever your hands and my hands could build, God will not dwell. This is already written so clearly at the time of Isaiah, about 700 years before the Lord Jesus came. Then when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he says, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Now, when the Lord comes in the new covenant days, then he says he's going to build. Because he is the real Solomon to build the real temple of God. Now, what is this real temple? You have to really see this. First of all, today we all need to realize that anything that we as human beings can build according to your capability, you may be very capable, you are a good organizer, you may be a very good speaker, and you can use so many means and so many ways, whatever you build and whatever you can build is not the dwelling place of God. That is why in all of these centuries you can see building of the churches, after a few years is gone. Then some people build up another kind of a church, it's gone. You heard of the Crystal Cathedral in Costa Mesa in California? Well, they use I don't know how many million to build that. Now, it's gone. Bought by Roman Catholic Church for 30-some million U.S. dollars, right? There has been a big organization, church in the 60s near Disneyland. It's called Melody Land. It was built, wow, with thousands of believers, 3 or 4 session every Lord's Day morning. Each session is over 1,000 or 2 people. That's why they need 4 sessions. Where is it today? It's gone. You see the mega church there in Singapore. What happened? The pastor is now being fined. He was found, what? Tax evasion. And he's going to spend time not in the wonderful church he built, but he's going to spend some time in prison. Right? Whatever man's hand can build, I tell you, be wise. You should say, no, this is not it. Otherwise, you're going to invest in that. 10 years down the line, it's over. It's gone. Then you wasted your time. You wasted everything. But the word already says so clearly, the church is not built by man's hands. God will not dwell there. Right? Whatever is built by man's hand, remember what Stephen says here. What Stephen said, God will not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house are you going to build for me? Says the Lord. What is the place of my rest? Hey, we are meeting right here where? A sports club. This is not the church. But the church is made of the living stones. Right? Even Christ himself is a cornerstone, and is the foundation stone. So you can really see that it is not made by man's hands here. It is a spiritual house. And remember, it is the heavenly city. So it is not made by man's hands. Okay? If you realize it this morning, you're seeing a lot. Why is it that I'm stressing and emphasizing this point? Because in the last 50 years, I have seen so much problems. Not just once, not just twice, not just seven times, eight times. I'm seeing it again. So I have to ask the Lord, what is this? We spend so much time building and boom, overnight, within a very short time, it's gone. I really told the Lord, you ask him, he is my witness. I said, Lord, I quit. I'm not going to do again. If you would have it destroyed again, and then we build again and it's destroyed again, goodness, what are we doing? So I have to ask him, how do you want to build your church? Because I know Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds, the builder builds in vain. They built in vain. So I said, I don't want to build in vain. I want to know exactly how you want to build. That's why today the Lord is showing us this very important truth in the Bible. God will not dwell in places built with hands. Grace, you went to some place, right? Yes, I understand why. You believe that place is the temple of the living God? I know you know that it's not the place. It is not. It is not. Then what is? So, we have to seek. Now, let's go to Hebrews. Quickly. Right? Well, we have another meeting this afternoon, right? But let's quickly, let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, let me just read it to you. You can follow it slowly, right? I'll read slowly. Now this is the main point, verse 1. This is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest. Where is he? Who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary, the temple, the sanctuary, and of the what? What? True tabernacle. Aha, now there is a true one. True tabernacle. Where is it? In the heavens. How are you going to get there? Now, this is the question. Now, how are you going to go there? How are you going to go there? The true tabernacle. That means all other tabernacles are not the true one. Mm-hmm. Okay. What did it say here? True tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. You better write this in your heart. The true one is not erected by man, but by God himself, by the Lord himself. So you better seek and ask the Lord, Lord, how do we get to this true tabernacle? I am through with the false tabernacles. I'm fed up with it. No more of that. I want to see the true tabernacle. I want to know what it is. I want to know where it is. Right? Then verse 3, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, our great high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, Christ, also have something to offer. Some people don't believe that even Christ will offer sacrifices. Well, The scripture says everyone will offer, except now he offers spiritual sacrifices, not animal sacrifices. Now, it says here, read it carefully, okay, read it carefully. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are already priests who offer gifts according to the law. Verse 5 says, who serve just a copy and shadow of heavenly things. Now, that means the earthly offerings and sacrifices are just a copy. Just like if you want to build a house, you need a blueprint. A blueprint is not a house. You cannot dwell in a blueprint, right? It's just a copy, not the real thing. So all of those offerings, even a tabernacle, is just a copy, not the real thing yet. A copy and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, God told him, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So that means that earthly tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness is just a copy. Not the real thing. It was just a shadow, including the temple built by Solomon. Because it was written in Chronicles that the Holy Spirit showed David every details and copies of every details of the temple that he has to be, his son must build according to that copy. Yeah. Right? And then it says here, but now he, the Lord Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry. That means now it is a heavenly ministry. Now, let us read and jump to chapter 9 again. Chapter 9 again, beginning in verse 11. Here, well, verse 11, let me read. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, because before Christ came, the good things, the real things didn't come yet. But when Christ came, he came with the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. And not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So, now, you really need to see that today the tabernacle that the Lord is building is not made with hands. Now, the first thing you need to see when we are building a church is that we are not capable to do it. Anytime any man think that he can do it, that was the end. That is the end. Because now the Lord is building a heavenly one, right? In the second meeting, then we can have fellowship to see what does it mean and how can we be in that heavenly tabernacle. Now, let's continue to go to chapter 11. Right? These verses are very important for us to see something. Hebrews is a very important book here. And this book, no author was mentioned. Yeah, no author was mentioned in this book because the author didn't want to give the impression that he is the one who wrote it. And he said, all the time the Holy Spirit says, it is the Spirit speaking. Now, let's take a look at Abraham. Verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise, as in a foreign country. Why? Wasn't he already in the good land? Tell me. Was that the real good land? No. It was just a shadow. Again, the Canaan land was not yet the real good land. The real good land is a heavenly country. It's heavenly. That is why he dwells there as in a foreign land. Right? Why? Verse 10 says, would you please read it for us loudly? Wow. Abraham was waiting for a city. What city? The heavenly city. Which has foundations, praise the Lord, the new Jerusalem, whose builder and maker is not Paul, Peter, not you and I, no, not the elders. Who is the builder? You better know. The architect and the builder is God. The maker here in Greek here means the architect, the designer is God. And the builder is God. Because it is a heavenly city. Oh, where is Billy? Ah, Billy, yeah. You are going to be an architect very soon, right? Oh, okay, I'm going to ask Billy, build us a heavenly city. Can you do that? Come on, you're a graduate. You're going to graduate very soon. Wow, from UST. Very good in architecture. Would you please build us a heavenly city? She cannot do it. So who can do it here? Who do you think can do it? And who is going to be the builder? If you don't know this living God, you are just going to build up something that's earthly, that is of this creation, with men's hands, and it's not going to work. Now let's turn to chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. It's 12. Okay, give me a few more minutes, and we can stop. In chapter 12, verse 22, we already read this. But you have come to where? Mount Zion. You have come. Are you sure? Janine, are you sure you have come to Mount Zion? Ah, how did you get there? Are you in heaven? Or are you in QC, sports club? It's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Are you sure you have come? Ah. Okay, I'm glad you're sure. In the second meeting, you have to tell me how you came, okay? With your van or what? With a van you came to QC. But how do you go to the heavenly Jerusalem? Now, right? You have come. Then it says here, let's jump now. Verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, now all of a sudden the Zion, the heavenly city, heavenly Jerusalem, is the kingdom, the unshakable kingdom. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. When it comes to God's building, He will get what He wants. So remember, everything that can be shaken, it's a matter of time. Sooner or later, they will all be shaken. Because God will shake away everything that is made with hands. Everything that is made with created things. Whatever things it is, it will be shaken. Only the unshakable kingdom will remain. Now, let us take a look at the finished product. In Revelation chapter 21, after that we stop. John, in the book of Revelation, saw a wonderful vision, the finished product. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Again, the Jerusalem is mentioned here. Right? That means the building of the new Jerusalem begins now, not in the future. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us the building starts now. Revelation chapter 21 shows us it was the finished product. It says here, I, John, saw the new Jerusalem coming out of the earth. Now, what did it say in the Bible? Coming down out of heaven from God. This is the new Jerusalem. It is heavenly, of course, and it's built by God, so it has to come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us the church is the bride of Christ. Can we imagine that this bride is really a heavenly bride? Now the question is, how can we, being here today, being built up as a heavenly bride? Now, let us continue to read. Verse 10. In verse 9, the angel told him, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Of course, this is the church. It has to be, according to what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5. And he carried me away, what? In spirit. The original text is not in the. There was no article. And it is not in capital S, but small s. That means you can only see this in spirit. No wonder John said, you must be born again. If you are not born again in spirit, you cannot even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter in the kingdom. So, John was carried away in spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, not a great city. This is the wrong translation here, not the right one. The holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And this jasper stone is exactly like the stone shown concerning God sitting on a throne in Revelation chapter 4, whose appearance was like a jasper stone. That means this wonderful holy city is very similar in expression to the glory of God. And only the heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God can have such a glory. We stop here, okay? May the Lord really open our eyes to see this vision. Then you will know what we are building today. And not just doing any kind of a Christian work here. And we all have to ask the Lord, Lord, help us to realize what kind of a church you are building today. A heavenly one. A spiritual one. Amen. Praise the Lord.